Welcome to GhostBiz. You're on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, catching up with the finance ghost on what is going on the markets. Let's start out, ghost, with retail. We spend a lot of time on these big retailers. Pick and Pay no longer trading here in Namibia, certainly not the supermarkets, but we've been following their various adventures in recovery, and it does look like there might be some positive signs. Tell us more. Is it good news for Pick and Pay?
Hello, Gary. Hello to all of the listeners there in Namibia. Yeah, it is some good news at Pick and Pay. Look, it's obviously coming off a very low base. The expectation is that it's always going to be bad or at least weak. So when we see something that looks a little bit green, then we tend to get quite excited, right? And turnover has been announced for 20 weeks to the 19th of July, 2026. And at group level, the turnover was flat because they've been closing underperforming stores, or they've been converting them into Boxer. I mean, you already referenced there that they've, made some changes to how they think about Namibia. So total group turnover flat, but that's not actually the right metric to look at. The right one to look at is definitely like-for-like sales, because that shows you how they are performing in their existing footprints. And on that metric, they were up 2.6%, which is actually pretty good. At least certainly by Pick and Pay standards. So if we focus on the South African business, then you'll find a 1.9% like-for-like growth there, which is actually pretty good in the context of internal selling price inflation of 1.3%. It means they are achieving roughly 60 basis points in positive volumes. And that, I would say, is the highlight of this particular update. Now, it is important if you're going to compare it to Boxer, where Boxer achieved, I think it was growth of around 2.2% on a like-for-like basis. But Boxer managed that despite deflation of 1.9%. So Boxer's volumes were actually up more like 4%, whereas Pick and Pay's were only up around 0.6%. So that's when you have to be careful on this element of like-for-like sales. If you're comparing two retailers, their like-for-like sales growth might look similar. But if they had very different inflation, then it can actually mean that the underlying volumes looked different. Why would they have such different inflation despite a similar period? Well, it's because of the underlying basket of what their shoppers buy. So Boxer focuses very much on staples and that kind of thing. So it's maize, it's rice, it's all of that. And then obviously Pick and Pay has a much broader offering, and they have widespread food inflation across multiple categories. So that's why you see such a significant difference there. But definitely one of the more positive results I've seen out of Pick and Pay. Still lots of challenges to overcome. For example, company-owned supermarkets are running ahead of franchise, which is still a bit strange for me. Clothing business is still struggling. So they're by no means out of the woods yet, that's for sure. But at least they are making progress, and those volumes in South African supermarkets have moved positive.
Let's take a look at another company that's had adventures, and that's Sappi. They've pushed out numbers, and share price went up 12.5%. So are they, and pardon the pun for Sappi, out of the woods?
We're going to keep making out-of-the-woods jokes today, clearly. And no, I don't think that Sappi is remotely out of the woods. I think that if we're going to stick with that analogy, they are in a very dark forest on a windy road filled with rocks and some very nasty Lord of the Rings-esque creatures lurking, because it's very hard for them. So you've got to be really careful with whether Sappi is actually still a cyclical business or has become a business in structural or terminal decline. That's really the debate. If you draw a very long-term chart of Sappi, and I mean like 20 years or more, then you'll see it does go through massive upswings and then downswings and upswings and downswings. There's no set direction of travel on the share price. But I think things may have changed here, because these days you'll see something like graphic paper, for example, which is magazines. Demand for that has fallen right through the floor now. And that's why Sappi's having to restructure the way they operate in Europe, for example, and a bunch of other issues. I mean, just think about your own consumption of paper and packaging and pulp on a daily basis. It's obviously way down on where it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. So do those cycles actually still hold true? Well, the market doesn't seem to think so, because the share price has very much been in the doldrums. It's only up if you look over a very short time frame. If you zoom out to any sort of reasonable level, then you'll see that Sappi is in a really, really rough place. And in the latest quarter, adjusted EBITDA was down by 34%. The headline loss per share got worse. Net debt was up 3%. So very little to actually feel excited about. The only reason why the share price found some support is that Sappi came out and said, well, Adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter will be, and I quote, materially above that of the third quarter. Well, I would hope so, because Sappi made huge losses in the third quarter. So you're going to have to see a really big uptick in adjusted EBITDA for them to actually swing into the green. Nevertheless, when it's a broken stock, the market is always looking for a reason to climb in and see if there's an opportunity here. And that seems to be what's happened at Sappi.
And now a brand that if you've got kids, you absolutely know about, and that's Spur. And the recent Best in Namibia Awards, Ghost, Spur managed to win Best Ribs in Namibia. But they seem to have picked up some scrap about ribs, and that is potentially going to cost them a lot of money. Tell us about this bad news that's sitting on Spur's horizon. And apart from that, how are things going at everyone's favorite family restaurant?
Spur really is as iconic as it gets, right? It feels like that is as ingrained in the culture at the tip of Africa as the humble burry roll and just about anything you can think of, really. Watching the rugby, take your pick, Spur is there. And it's not just people with kids, definitely. I mean, that is a big part of their business. But I also think they appeal to people just looking for relatively affordable dining experiences, sit-down experiences. And Spur is not always much cheaper than some of the other options, but I think that they do a good job of delivering a consistent experience at a reasonable price point. And I mean, the numbers speak for themselves, right? They are actually doing very nicely, other than this issue around ribs, as you quite correctly highlighted. So before we get to that, I'll just note that Spur's latest period, that's the year ended June, they expect adjusted HEPS to be up by between 5% and 13%, which is obviously a decent little growth rate there. So at the midpoint, that's just below double digit, which is nice. But that's adjusted HEPS. Unfortunately, if you look at HEPS as reported, then you're going to find a big drop of between 34% and 43%. And that's entirely because of a legal provision that they've had to raise, going back to a dispute from 2019 with GPS Food Group, who sued Spur based on the alleged non-fulfillment of a verbal agreement to acquire, develop, and manage a rib processing facility. In other words, they say that Spur promised them something that they didn't do, and even though the agreement was never reduced to writing, it's still good enough for a claim to have been put in. So there's a contract law lesson for the day. GPS Food Group had put in two claims, and the arbitrator held up one of them, and has now issued the quantum award of damages. It's got a capital sum of 74.6 million rand. Then you add on 10% interest from the date of the original summons, plus the legal costs, and Spur has had to raise a provision of 129.5 million rand. So next time you think your rack of ribs is expensive, just think about Spur and that provision of nearly 130 million bucks based on a verbal agreement going all the way back to 2019. Be careful what you promise people, because it can seriously come back to bite you if you don't fulfill those promises.
All right, that's all we have time for this week. Thank you, Ghost, for giving us an idea of what's going on in the markets. We'll be back again next week here on Ghost Biz. Remember, you can pick up this episode and all of our previous episodes wherever you pick up your podcasts. Please like and subscribe. Thank you for making us Namibia's number one business podcast. We'll catch you next week.